You know, we got big connections here at Trailhead Church. I don't even know what to do with all of what just happened.
I know a lot of famous people. We made in a phone call, Matthew McConaughey. Man, no problem. All right. We made it happen. Yeah.
We all need to take a deep breath and regroup right now.
I didn't tell her what was going on, so I made sure the whole staff didn't say anything to her. She was here the other day giving a tour for this other worship pastor from another church, and so when she left the room, because Jeremy wanted to test the audio, and so when she left the room, I was like, and then all of a sudden we heard it. It was so awesome.
Super funny. Man. Josh likes to surprise me this way.
Okay. We got to regroup. Let's talk about Jesus.
Oh, man.
Okay. Harmony. Hey, if you are taking notes, take some notes. Write this down. We've got three steps here in Harmony.
Oh, we're excited about today's message.
We got out of, last week, out of, Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15.
Yes.
And we'll continue in that same vein here. But, you know, God chose us to be the holy people he loves. You must clothe yourself with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful.
Amen.
So in harmony, you can define it in multiple different ways, but as far as the scriptures are concerned, that word harmony here in this verse is actually the full phrase of perfect unity, moral or spiritual perfection, full growth, completeness, that unity of spirit and in purpose. Which brings us to Psalm 133, verses 1 through 3. So this is Anna. Anna loves this.
This really ministered to me this past week, because I feel like last week we hit on out of Colossians 3, really talking about an eternity mindset of we are maturing and growing in harmony in our relationships because we have an eternal look. So from that, that beautiful picture of eternity and wanting to mature as God's beloved, that then gives us a motive for growth. So this week, we're going to really press in and dive into harmony as a motive for growth. This is a growth mindset. So think of this, eternity mindset. If you're saved, you are going to be in heaven with the very people that you're working together with that are also saved. Just let it set in for a minute. Meaning, here on this earth, wouldn't you want to have a growth mindset so that we can work together well on earth together before we go to heaven? So that you can enjoy your marriage, enjoy your relationships, work through tough things? So in harmony being a growth mindset, we know that spiritual growth comes from the Holy Spirit's leading. And this type of growth is established only through Jesus Christ as our cornerstone. We're going to get to that here in a second. But in Psalm 133, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. Here we go. I'm getting there.
Slowly.
Pages are turning. Sorry. Here we go. Behold, this is a full chapter of unity. It's not a big chapter, but this is after a time whenever King David, there had been division, they had gone through some challenging things, and then we come to this perfect place of unity, this perfect place of harmony. And he says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren, we're brethren, if you're a believer, you're brethren, to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. You know, that's very poetic, but I want you to get a picture of this before we get into anything else of what this looks like to have this growth mindset. So first we take notice that it is good and pleasant for believers to join in harmony. This is a good thing. If you reflect your heart, if you are reflecting right now on your heart, do you have a heart of that follows after God? Because in reflecting his heart, it's going to be so much more enjoyable than constant fighting and bickering. So much more enjoyable. This is a good and pleasing thing. So unity in believers is good and pleasant, but there's a dwelling together that involves that, right? There's a working together. The bonds of harmony will be tested. Anybody go through a test this week? We're the only ones sitting on the platform up here? No? Maybe? It's going to be tested. You're going to go through some things with people. Your marriage is going to go through some stuff, right? So in this, we've got to wake up. And I told him, we were talking this out in our own marriage and our own relationships. And I said, I hate not being in harmony with you. We really should get to that place in this growth mindset of, I hate not being in perfect unity and us growing together in this. I am bothered by it. I do not enjoy constant bickering or fighting. Neither one of us do. Sometimes we get in that destructive cycle, and that's what your life looks like because you found yourself there. And if that is you, if you feel today that you have lost something in your relationships, have you ever lost something and you feel like it's gone forever? I lost something yesterday, and I immediately had the thought, it's gone forever. And then I found it 30 minutes later in my bedroom. Often we feel like that something is lost forever in our relationships, but you'll find it in your own home. The Holy Spirit will lead you. If you have Jesus as the high priest, as the cornerstone of your life living inside of you, when those things feel lost, when you've lost your joy in your marriage, when you've lost intimacy in your marriage, when you've lost companionship, or you feel like you are not in unity or in harmony, whenever you press in and ask the Holy Spirit for help, then he will help those things to be found and birthed from the inside out. That's what God will do. So he says, how will you respond in this when you're tested with unity? Then he goes on to talk about the anointing oil in this scripture. So in this, this was a refreshing and a sweet fragrance among someone's head. So they often would anoint someone's head with oil whenever you arrived at someone's house before you came in. It was a refreshing, a sweet fragrance after, you know, whatever you'd been around that day. Rich in abundance. For Aaron, talking about him being consecrated as a high priest, it was for his priestly service to God and his people. So in this, think about this right now, that God has anointed you through the Holy Spirit by his power to have rich in abundance in your relationships, so you're refreshed and you have a sweet fragrance, a sweet aroma with where you're at in life. Then he doesn't stop there. He then goes on and talks about how it runs down to the edge of his garments. Every good gift comes from above. We've been hammering that this year. God has given us gifts to accomplish all that he's called you to do. That anointing, when he's talking about running down his beard, that's the fullness of it, going all the way to the edge, meaning God covers everything. He will cover everything in your relationships. Then he gives us another beautiful mental just picture, unity as dew. That means it's rich and healthy. Do you want to have a rich and healthy relationship? Unity will help your marriage, or harmony will help your marriage to thrive. In those dry and dusty seasons, Christ will refresh and revive. He will strengthen you when you feel weak. And then he'll allow a work from the Holy Spirit to come in and to guide you into blessings. It's a beautiful picture of this small chapter, isn't it? Of just what it can look like to say, God, I want to grow. I want to have a growth mindset when it comes to harmony in my marriage and in my relationships.
Yeah, it's acknowledging that you know for a fact that God wants us to be good. Yeah. And it goes back to Genesis. And recognizing that the man was alone, this is not good for the man to be alone, and then to create a spouse. And knowing that in that, they became interdependent upon each other. It wasn't a lording over one another, it was an interdependency, because obviously man needed woman, and then out of woman came man. And all of that was interdependent. And knowing that God wants this to take place, that God is for you, and that God wants to see harmony in your lives, you need to be able to recognize those alarm systems and those, you know, those moments to go, oh, we're not in agreement. We're not in harmony. Something's got to change. But really, as a Christian, you should acknowledge the fact that God is first. And we've said this time and time again, Anna's over here, I'm over here, and God's right there. As we get closer to him, you get closer together. So by acknowledging the fact that God has a zeal for the house to be together, that there's a zeal of, he has a love of unity. And so even David in Psalm 69:9, he actually says, "For zeal for your house consumes me." That zeal that he acknowledges God has, that consumes me. I want unity. I want harmony. You're striving for these things to take place. You want that bond to come together and not separated. So, and we've made acknowledgments in our own home to say, you know what, or rules in our own homes that we are never to sleep on the couch, no matter what. That we work this thing out.
Now, I've gone there before, and then he'll come down. He's like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "Well, I'm just super mad right now. And I'm just waiting for him to come get me." You know? Like, I'm not going to sleep on that couch. We have a really nice bed.
I've also made the rule not to storm the castle, right? So I don't go barreling down there to storm the castle. If you understand what I'm saying, is that she's created some walls, and she's the princess at the top of the tower. I'm not storming them walls. We're going to come together.
You know, you have moments. Let it be a moment and don't stay there.
Yeah.
That's the anointing oil. That's the Holy Spirit coming in and saying, "What are you doing?"
Yeah.
Just stop. Get your hind end up there and work this sucker out.
Right.
I mean, so that's how good God is.
Our approach with harmony today is an overall growth message. We want to see you grow in the things of God.
That's
in
1
Peter, you'll notice that in 1 Peter chapter 2, there's a huge notion of the spiritual milk and how we need to be going past this infancy to a maturity. And we as adults, you have to recognize as an adult that we are standard bearers for the glory of God in our personal and professional lives. And so in our personal lives of who we are, we're a standard bearer. We're not going to settle for anything less. When we hear things of this world, talk shows that try to tell you how to have a better marriage, unless they say God, I don't listen.
Or it's not founded on the word of God.
Yeah.
You know, that's what this looks like.
God being the creator of this has given us great solid nuggets of gold that we should hold on to and treasure in our marriages and make that number one. Yeah. And having that foundation so important. So that brings me to step one in this growth, and that is foundation in Christ. You have to have a foundation in Christ. Now, some of you may, if you are saved and you're in this room and you say, "I am a Christian," then you say, "Well, yeah, I understand the salvation of Jesus Christ. I'm actually going beyond the salvation of Jesus Christ. I'm making him the cornerstone in my life." Amen. So in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 5, it says, "As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." It's making those spiritual sacrifices. When you hear God call upon your life something amazing, and it's anointed, and God is saying, "Hey, I need you to step out. I need you to do this." It's not the personal life. Everyone keeps thinking it's like buying a better, bigger TV. There you go. God wants me to buy a bigger, better TV. You're like, no. You start thinking about like worldly things. You're like, God wants me to have this. God wants me to do that. And it's like a worldly possession mentality. God's not saying that. God's talking about a spiritual growth that actually benefits others, that you are serving others. You're helping others. You're beginning to preach the gospel to others. I find it funny in Matthew chapter 6, I was reminded this past week of this. You know, it talks about how he clothes the birds and how we shouldn't worry about these things. And he'll take care of those people who take care of the things that he's given us to do. And then I started thinking about what birds do. Birds poop on things, right? Birds love to poop on things. And I'm thinking it's like those things that we are trying to think is necessary or good. It's like God clothes the birds. God takes care of those birds and he feeds them. And then it's a subtle reminder of the things that God, you know, that God gives us, but it's not a material of things. It's not a possessional mentality. It's knowing that God has given you gifts, but spiritual gifts spiritual gifts to grow the kingdom, to have a firm foundation that we are living stones. And in those living stones, there is a voice that's coming out that is giving people life because they're living. And I think that's that reminder. Now, out of 1 Peter, it goes on to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14. I love that the disciples are in unity with one another. They're talking to one another. Yeah, they have their spats, and you can read about them here in Acts. But you'll notice that Paul and Peter are talking. John, they're all talking to one another, and they're discussing the things of God. So in Ephesians, Paul writes this. He says, "For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups," talking about Gentiles and Jews, "but who has made the two groups one, has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." We are a living tabernacle, and that in us, we're able to be a vessel for the things of God and be an example. And so that gives us to the next steps. Step two, and let me keep going here. It's the submission to one another. And you can continue to read in Colossians, 1 Peter, chapter 3. Ephesians talks about it. Romans talks about it. They all talk about the submissiveness of wife and husband. And that interdependency upon each other. That this is not a moment for me to lord something over Anna's life and her to do the same to me. But in this, our purpose is that we are, and this is what I love about the scriptures, that I am my duty as her husband is to draw her closer to God, not further away, but to draw her closer, to make her more like Christ, that I am encouraging her, that I am giving her everything she needs to be able to do this. That I'm not stealing from her. I'm not trying to aggravate her. I'm not trying to correct her in a manner of just being right and that she is wrong. But I want to spur her forward to the things of God. So asking those questions to yourself is, what am I saying to my wife daily? Or what am I saying to my husband daily? What am I saying? What are these words? Am I encouraging her? Am I pushing her to Christ? Or am I actually drawing her further away? What am I doing? Am I the example? Am I that, and I love it, the standard bearer of the glory of God? Am I that standard bearer, that I'm carrying that standard? Now, there's no way to get perfection. We live in a fallen state world. But there is a way to have excellence in what we do. And I want excellence in my marriage. I want to say the things that draws her closer to God, not further away from God.
When you're submitted to God and he is the chief cornerstone of your life, then you'll find that submission isn't a dirty word. Because we live in a day and age where they've turned submission into, that it's a bad word.
Yeah, let me say this real quick. But ladies, women, however you want to be addressed, I don't know the proper way anymore. But what I know is this. You have power beyond belief. If there's one thing about women, you are extra sensitive to the things of God, and I appreciate that. I believe this wholeheartedly. I have the Holy Spirit, and I have Anna. All right? Like, there's those moments, and I love it. By no means would I ever diminish anything that a woman has in her power or ability. I would say 80,000% of you in this room are smarter than me, ladies. But the thing is, that's a good thing. That's the thing. Unfortunately, the world is trying to create this
division,
stigma, yeah, and division that women are inferior and that men are superior. And I mean, that is by no way, shape, or form. Now, do I believe in a gentleman response of opening the door and just that's how I was raised? Sure, that's going to take place. But by no means a woman can do anything a man can do and more. But that's what the world is trying to say. In our spouse relationship, as you hear me say this, we are interdependent upon each other. That this is a submissiveness that is, again, spurring each other on to the things of God.
And in submission, we see in 1 Peter, 1 Peter is an entire book about submission. And it's actually about submission in a time of persecution. And persecution can either cause growth or bitterness. Depends on how you respond to it. So we see here God teaching us that when we submit to Him, to His authority, and we submit to others under God's authority, that even when we're persecuted, we can grow and God can refine and do great things in our marriages, in our relationships, in how we serve in our workplaces with our children, because 1 Peter covers all of the relationships. This is what this looks like. And so in this, submission is a word of authority and healing. It really means God's plan and arrangement for your life. God has a plan and an arrangement for your marriage, and submission is a part of that. So in this, whenever we are in our relationship, if Jesus is the cornerstone of my life and Josh and I come together in agreement on something, I have no problem submitting to Joshua as the head of my household because I recognize that he's made Jesus Lord over his life. And in that, I trust his heart for God. And it could be that I don't even agree. You don't have to agree to submit. That's where we miss it.
Yeah, she didn't really think North Carolina was necessarily, like this particular place when we first moved down here to start the church, she was still a little leery. And I was like, I promise you, like, I know I'm hearing from God. This is where we're supposed to start this church. So that was a hard first moment. She knew North Carolina was there, but then it was kind of like, where at in this spot? And then it was a trusting of, I trust that you hear from God. And now we recognize, she acknowledges we both.
And it was hard for me. That is where I needed to know, God, I am hearing your voice. But in that, Lord, I submit to you and I come in agreement with my husband. Because I know that he honors and trusts me. This is a two-way street. That's what this looks like in our lives. But when Jesus is the foundation and the cornerstone, and your home is being built upon him, all of these scriptures talk about holiness. God is holy, for we should be holy.
Yeah.
That means you're going to strap your shoes, the gospel shoes of peace, on every day, and you're going to stomp all over the devil's head in your household and not allow chaos, confusion, not allow perversion to come in. When Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of your marriage, then you are living a holy and consecrated life to the Lord. So in that, you're able to find your place in, you're able to find your relationships in a point of submission because you're living in Christ. These are questions to ask yourself today. Am I living holy like God is holy? Are there things that are unholy in my household, with my children, in my relationship?
Right. In 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, get rid of all evil behavior. So that deceit, the hypocrisy, jealousy, right, all unkind speech. Some of you guys, you got mean when you got married. So the question is why did you get mean? Like, I don't understand it. I mean, when we do marriage counseling and we're sitting there listening to couples, we know who the mean one is. There's one person who's meaner than the other. And you're like, but how did you get that way? Did the one that's not so mean, are they the ones who just aggravated the snot out of you to the point where you're that mean? I mean, it's crazy at times. We're like, do you not see how mean you are? Like, you're vindictive.
You don't. I like in the Amplified, it says, so be done with every trace of wickedness, depravity, malignity, and all deceit and insincerity, pretense, and hypocrisy, and grudges, envy, jealousy, and slander, and evil speaking of every kind. We are each other's biggest fan. That's one of our rules at our household.
Yeah.
And we celebrate one another in this. Like, these are things that you have to make a choice today of God ministering to your heart where you say, I am done with this. But then he doesn't stop there. He says, like newborn babes, you should crave or thirst for, earnestly desire the pure, unadulterated spiritual milk, that by it you may be nurtured and grow into completed salvation. The only way you're going to be done away with those things, if you renew your mind to God's word and submit your mind every day to Jesus. That's it. You can't do this on your own. You're going to get angry. You're going to go to the couch. You're going to get mad. You're going to say things you shouldn't say. And God's saying, you don't have to live that way. Do you? Your marriage is what you make of it. I call it the angry wife syndrome. Y'all know, I don't care, I'll talk about it. The angry wife syndrome. You had expectations for your marriage, and they weren't met, so you got real angry real quick. And in that, you're just mean all the time. You stopped having intimacy with your spouse, or you put a fight up with it. You're not nice. You're not serving him, which we're going to get into that in a second. And it's time to wake up, allow the Holy Spirit to wake you up, and what you've lost to be found in Jesus' name. You don't have to live this way any longer. And you don't like living that way.
But now, let me say this. Sometimes the wife gets this way due to the fact that the man-child that lives with you doesn't pick up after themselves, doesn't do anything, and is pretty lazy. And so then I look at you men and I go, man, come on, man up. Like, take care of your clothes. Take care of your shoes.
Talk about video games.
Stop playing video games. Like, some of you men, like, grow up, like...
Water your own grass.
Yeah, like...
That's what we're talking about here this morning.
Yeah, you're killing these digital dots on the screen, and you're killing your marriage at the same time. Because you're not spending that quality time with your spouse, loving on them and showing them the love that they need. And so then your wife, then they get bitter and angry, and both of you're just kind of... You're on these lonely islands. And unfortunately... You like the only thing you have combining each other are your children. And then that's what happens with the empty nester moment. It was like, that's why a lot of empty nesters get divorced, because their identity was in their children. And then once they get a divorce, then they're going, what now? I don't know you. Who are you? And then you have nothing. And that's a scary place to find yourself in, because then you're again in this like emergency mode. And you're trying to re-identify. And then all the other things creep in. What did I do with my life? I wish I wouldn't have worked this hard for this. And then you start regret and all this, you know, garbage. I want to see you wake up now, some of you men in this room, and say, you know what? I need to be a little bit more tactful in my words. I need to be extremely direct in the fact of, hey, let's build our marriage versus like this, you're tippy-toeing around the fact that you need to be direct. You're tippy-toeing around by like, yeah, you know, we can go out if you want. Like, no, take her by the hand and take her out on a date. Like, do something, make out with her, dance with her in the kitchen. Like, do those things. Like, be romantic, surprise her with silly things. I want to get real personal, but we can't, I know.
You all know we're very transparent, and we can talk about us. We can't talk about you, so we're happy to do that. In this point
I found a website.
Nope, too far. Nope. No, I'm shutting it down. I'll say it. So into your spouse and however you need to grow your time of intimacy, what you sow, you will reap.
Yeah.
Okay? When we're talking about submission here, you see, that's what I'm talking about. You look at submission like this is a dirty word. No, this is God's plan and arrangement for your marriage. This is all submission. All of these practical things we're saying is submission. Enjoyment. This is Jesus. God created marriage. Do you think he created your marriage for you to not enjoy your marriage? No, God celebrates your marriage today. He celebrates your relationships with your coworkers, with your children, with your family. And he's given you a plan. I want to read, because we need to read this scripture out of 1 Peter 3.
As you turn there, let me say this. So they don't think I'm some weird, dirty person. I know.
Nobody thinks that?
What I got creative. I got creative. I sat there and I thought, I want to be creative. I want to be fun and like this spontaneous stuff. So I was like, man, I want to get into that because I want to, like she's saying, water our garden in the sense of like, man, this is exciting and it's fun.
Don't dry up.
Yeah, it is, and it's good, and so, and that's the thing.
And for you women that are struggling with that.
I'm not some dirty weirdo,
nobody thinks, why would you even say that?
I don't know, I have to say it.
You don't have to say it.
Sure, things are private.
Yeah, you don't have to say it. Hey, and for women with this, ask the Holy Spirit for help. God created intimacy. Prepare your hearts. All of you, prepare your hearts for what God wants. It's beautiful. I want to read this in the Passion Translation. I really enjoyed 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3 is a great chapter for marriage, and not only marriage, but harmony in the Christian walk. You also can go to Ephesians chapter 5. I love the book of Ephesians. It's probably one of my most favorite books, but I love that after Ephesians 5, it goes into the armor of God, right? After he talks about relationships, he goes into telling you need to get armored up. But in 1 Peter 3, I want to read the Passion Translation. It says, "And now let me speak to the wives." This is in verse 1. "Be devoted to your own husbands, so that even if some of them do not obey the word of God," because some of you, you have a struggle where your spouse is not a believer, and it's hard. And God gives you instruction on what to do. He says, "Your kind conduct may win them over without you saying a thing. For when they observe your pure, godly life before God, it will impact them deeply. Let your true beauty come from your inner personality, not a focus on the external, for lasting beauty comes from a gentle and peaceful spirit, which is precious in God's sight and is much more important than the outward adornment of elaborate hair, jewelry, and fine clothes." That's the cornerstone. That's Jesus. That's your foundation. Yeah. Then he says, "Holy women of long ago who had set their hopes in God beautified themselves with lives lived in deference to their own husband's authority. For example, our mother Sarah devoted herself to her husband Abraham and even called him master." That wasn't a, don't look at that as like, I'm not calling my husband master. Once again, you're wrong in your thinking with this. She was honoring his position in her life. "And when you do what is right without fear and intimidation, then he says, "Husbands, you in turn must treat your wives with tenderness, viewing them as feminine partners who deserve to be honored, for they are co-heirs," which is what Pastor Josh has been talking about, "with you of the divine grace of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers." If you are having a hindrance in your prayer life or in breakthroughs at your home, how are you treating each other? Are you in agreement? Are you in harmony? Are you ugly to one another? No, I'm not talking outward. I'm talking like ugly to one another.
Yeah, it's coarse language to one another, and you're short, and you again, you're treating each other with contempt, yeah. and not this of beauty. And so I think even in 1 Peter, this is, I mean, this whole book is fantastic, but 1 Peter chapter 3, finally, this is for Christians in general. Yes. Finally, all of you should be of one mind, sympathize with each other, love each other as brothers and sisters, be tender-hearted and keep a humble attitude. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. God's calling us, again, to be the standard bearer for the glory of God in all that we do, and that's in your marriage. So don't play ignorant and don't be mean. Don't like have that love and show that excitement for one another and say good words to one another where it's pleasing and it's honoring and build each other up and serve. So that third step is that selfless serving, to begin to serve each other, to be there no matter what, to step up and say, "I'll take care of that. I'll do this. What can I do for you?" It's taking those moments of, you're sitting on the couch and you just say, you know what, you if you have that notion.
Right, that mindset. If this is at the forefront of your mind of how can I serve my
spouse.
The
Holy Spirit speaks to you and all of a sudden you're like, rubber feet. I could rubber feet right now. And you're like, I don't want to rubber feet.
You do.
But you do. You say, you know what? Or reach over and grab her hand. You're like, reach over and grab her hand. I don't want to reach over and grab her hand right
you
now.
You do.
It's probably cold.
It's always cold.
You know what I mean? Like, the moment those things happen, they click in your brain, do it. Like, go over and grab some hand lotion and start rubbing her feet. Do those things. And vice versa. Yeah. To take care of one another, serve one another. Do the dishes. Clean. Help. Take care of the kids. Take the kids out. Take care of the kids. You know what I mean? Like, take men, like, take care of the kids. Straight. We have Gresham talks all the time where I bring him into the couch and I say, all right, what's wrong with all of you? Like, you don't talk to mom this way. You don't treat her this
That's
way.
Right.
I will destroy you. I will destroy everything that you own.
And you know, I appreciate that is him serving God and serving me. We have three boys and a little girl, and those boys are tiny little men. They think they can tell me what to do all day long, and I'll take them out. They know that. I have grown mom strength. I will take you out for the rest of your life. But I need Joshua. He steps in, and he helps me, and he lays the law down of what this looks like. So in serving, marriage is founded on mutual intimacy, but marriage necessitates mutual responsibilities. We assume the responsibilities that marriage has given us. You got married and you acquired, you all no longer two but one, you now are responsible to take care of one another. Right? There are responsibilities that arise out of a marriage relationship. And in that, it's not founded on duty. Let's go ahead and stamp that in our brains. It's not founded on duty. It's not looking at your spouse and seeing how little you can do for them. It's looking at them and seeing how great you can love them. And the responsibilities of marriage are founded on the love of Jesus Christ. This goes back to the foundation. Foundation, submission, servanthood.
And in Romans chapter 15, verses 5 through 6, it says, may God, who gives this patience and encouragement, help you live, and that's the key word, live in complete harmony with each other.
Yeah.
He's going to give you this patience and encouragement. He's going to help you as is fitting for followers of Christ Jesus. Then all of you can join together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you notice, what you're doing is giving honor and praise to Him.
Amen.
When you don't do those things, you're not giving Him honor and praise. And so our whole life should be filled with honor and praise. Your experience with Him, when we sing these songs on Sunday morning, those words, those mean something to you. Those are not just empty words that we're singing just to be entertained. These are words of actual affirmation. Those are real words of saying, God, we bless you. Lord, we're so thankful. I exalt you.
Yeah.
Lord, and those words mean something because you're living them out. It's a living encouragement and patience. And so in your marriage, in your professional lives, you are to live this out. You are
Amen.
To be in complete harmony. And that's what I love again about what David says in Psalm 69:9, that he had a zeal. He acknowledged the zeal that God had for the house, that harmony and that unity. He wants to see it come together. So David, it's infectious. David wanted that. And he's going to carry that through his life. We need to have that in our marriages and everything we do. A zeal of peaceful mentality. A zeal for patience with people. Mercy, grace, unity. That, man, there's a lot of people in this room right now. There's probably people in this room that don't like me. And there's probably people, and there are people, maybe there's something about you, I don't like you. I'm being real. There's some things that just people, there's just things that we rub each other wrong at times. And there's a different upbringing, a different thought, or whatever it may be. But you know what? God calls us to be in unity with one another, to have mercy and to show grace.
Yeah.
I had a pastor years ago. I asked him when I first started. I said, hey, what kind of advice you have? He goes, mercy. And I didn't understand it. I didn't understand it until I really became more into being in this pastor role that I realized, man, we do not have it all together. And we are working living stone. We are working.
Yes.
And we're doing this together. And those are those moments that we may have differences in opinion on how we do certain things, how we have certain things, a process to have what we've been called to do. But we begin to walk in grace and love in all of this. My wife has an opinion on how she wants things done. I have an opinion on how I want things done. But we walk in that grace and mercy with one another to compromise, not out of the compromise for the things of God. That is not the case. But compromise in this, in the fact of like, does it matter? I can give on this. Yeah, we can do this. We've got this. We've got a plan and we're going to stick to it. What's the ultimate goal? We want to see that achieved. All of those things. When it comes to finances, when it comes to mistakes, how we handle stuff. We've made a lot of rules in our house that we try to live by. It's our 10 commandments of things that we are encouragers, not discouragers. We do not stand on the problem. We present a solution. So we can sit here all day. We do not come from a place of lack. but we come from a place of abundance, that God gives abundance in what we're doing. So we don't sit here and say the oh me, oh my, and stick our thumbs in our mouths and say, well, we don't have. No, we speak faith. We know that life and death are in the power of the tongue, so we speak faith. And we say, no, we're going to grab a hold of this, and we're going to pray, and we're going to believe that God's got this. God's going to show us what we need to do. So with self-serving, man, we are selfless. That we say, God, yes. What can I do to bring my wife or my husband closer to you today? What can I do? How can I serve them to bring them to the feet of you? What can I do? And with that position, with being submissive, having that foundation of Christ, being submissive and then being selfless, you guys will succeed in your marriages. You'll succeed in your professional lives and what you're supposed to do. So you have to begin this transformational process to allow God to renew your mind and create in you who you're supposed to be. And that's what God wants. God wants that unity. He wants that harmony. So, this is not the finished product. We are not the finished product. Paul talks about this over and over again, about the perfection of this, is that we're not seeing the full picture. Because why? Because we're not in heaven yet. But as Anna pointed out first thing in this morning, is that we are to have a perfection mentality that brings us to and it's not a complacency, but a picture of growth, and a picture of we're going to be in heaven someday together. And why not start acting like it right now? I mean, that's the sad part about it. People don't want to act. It's like, I don't care. You've wished people dead before. I had a friend in college. And I've told you guys this before. He was of a different religion, and he was getting married to a Christian. And I said, man, this is going to be tough. And I was doing their premarital counseling. I said, man, I don't know about this. I even asked the wife, I said, hey, I said, you ready to be honest to him? And so he goes, what do you mean? I said, well, I asked her, I said, do you pray for him every day to become a Christian? And you saw her face. Like, are you really going to put me on the spot? And so he stops and looks at her. And she says, every day I pray that. He goes, what? He goes, but I don't want to be a Christian. He goes, so why would you pray that? She loved him, and she wanted to see him to that fullness. He says, why would you pray that? And I said, because you're going to hell. And she wants to see you in eternity. And then he looked at me and he goes, I've known you my whole life. Do you think I'm going to hell? And I said, yeah. He goes, and you wouldn't try to get me to heaven? I go, oh, snap. You just put me on the spot. He says, so this whole time, you haven't let me know that you think I'm going to hell. And I said, well, I just thought it was understood that you knew that. He goes, wow. I don't want to see anyone go to hell. And you shouldn't either. And we need to be doing everything in our power and our abilities that God's given us, that patience, that encouragement. It starts there, to see people come to their full identity in Christ Jesus, that there's a fulfillment and a purpose to live on this earth right now, to be an overflow of what God's put in you, that Holy Spirit anointing to reach people.
That's right.
So let's pray. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray.
Thank you, Jesus.
God, we thank you for this time together here this morning. God, I thank you, Lord, that you are opening the floodgates of heaven to pour out upon this place. Lord, to transform our personal and our professional lives and all that we do. God, I thank you for our marriages. God, I thank you that, Lord, that you are strengthening them. The bond of that marriage, Lord, and who we are together. And Lord, that you are creating in us a new day, a new vision, a new purpose, a new hope, Lord, that we can hold on to and see that transformational power.
Thank you.
I want everyone to stand to our feet this morning right now. Let's stand to our feet. And if you are beside, And I hope you are. And if there's children in between you, push them out of the way right now. But I want you guys to grab hands, to come in unity with one another. Your spouse, grab with your spouse, not the other people around you, just your spouse. But grab their hand and let's commit our marriages to Christ today. Let's renew that. Let's ask and lean in on His strength. Man, maybe you've got some bitterness right now. Maybe you've made some mistakes. Like, let Him go right now. Don't hold on to these mistakes. Like, let Him go, all right? Let's do that. Let's do that right now, okay? So let's pray. Lord, we thank You. And I thank You that You are renewing us, God. That, Lord, that You've forgiven us for these sins and these mistakes we've made. Lord, that we're not going to hold and harbor this strife and this anger towards one another. But Lord, we release it now. Lord, we lay it down at Your feet, those burdens. And Lord, we take up that cross. Lord, that we can bear that. Lord, that we have a calling upon our lives, and that's more important. And that we want to fulfill that calling. So Lord, we thank You right now, Lord, that our marriages are strengthening and that we're coming together with this purpose and this renewed vision upon our hearts. Lord, that we're going to begin to do ministry together. And Lord, that You are the cornerstone of this. God, I thank You, Lord, that we will begin to be submissive to one another. And Lord, that we will lead each other. Lord, lead each other to the things that You have put before us. And Lord, that we begin to be the father and the mother to our children that they need to be. Lord, I thank You, Lord Jesus. Lord, I thank You that, Lord, that we are not the same person that we were, but Lord, that we are a new creation in Christ Jesus, where we honor You in all that we do and all that we say, every step that we take. Lord, we thank You for this. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.